Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum wa walahum bi ihsanin ila yaumiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil Majid: "Ta'ala a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah wa ma asabaka min sayyi'atin fa min nafsik." وقد قال جل جلاله: وما ظلمهم الله ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء الكرام, respected elders and brothers, a very important, a very cardinal thing for us to understand, to comprehend and digest is that in this world, whatever difficulties, trials, calamities we face, then many times this is because of our own wrongdoings, because of our own gunas, our own sins. In Quran Sharif, in numerous places, Allah Ta'ala brings this to our attention. Allah Ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That corruption, difficulty, hardship, instability, unrest, all of this happens in the world because of بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, because of what the hands of people have earned. In other words, the Quran says, "Ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah." Whatever good comes to you, then this is from the kindness, the benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Wa ma asabaka min sayyi'atin fa min nafsik." Whatever difficulty, hardship, evil comes to you, then this is from yourselves. "Wa ma zalamahum Allah walakin kanu anfusahum yadhlimun." Allah ta'ala had meted out punishment to the people of the past. Allah says, "We did not wrong them. We did not make zulm upon them. But these people have made zulm upon themselves by violating, transgressing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Now currently, my dear brother, we find that people around the world, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, there are many, many challenges, many, many difficulties, many, many problems that we face. And of course, it's not possible to discuss all these problems on a Jummah platform. But one particular problem that we in this country face is this problem of crime. Be it hijackings, be it home invasions, house breakings, murders and the rest of it. And it's come to such a stage now that I will not be exaggerating in saying that it's bordering on lawlessness and anarchy. Just this week or last week, government had released some stats regarding crime, and the rate of increase in crime is quite alarming. And I'm sure most of you will agree with me that this is an azab from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very, very big problem and a punishment Allah ta'ala has given to us. And when we study, a person looks at what they call problem resolution, conflict resolution. They discuss many, many people who are experts in the field. They discuss many, many points, many, many steps a person should be taking, should be looking at to try to resolve a problem. And three important points that most of the people who have written on this field say, three important points they say is, number one, is to identify who are the key role players in the problem. Secondly, is to find out that what is the cause of the problem. Who are the key role players in the problem? What is the cause for the problem? And thirdly, what is a viable and a practical solution to the problem? There are the points mentioned as well, but these three points featuring most articles written on the topic of problem resolution. So we take this problem of crime that we have, this azab of crime that we are facing, and we try to find out what is the solution to this problem, how do we resolve this problem. So applying these three same principles or three points, we look at this aspect of crime and try to find out who are the key role players in this crime. And now it's very easy to ask people out there, to ask them that who is behind this crime, what is the reason for this crime. Then people will tell you different theories they'll have. Some will blame it upon some syndicate. Some people say some high profile government people are behind it. Some have blamed it upon some government outside our country that has a history of doing such things. And various theories you will get. But the reality of the matter, my dear brothers, is that these elements, these syndicates, these criminals are only tools being used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. The armies of the heavens and the earth belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, who He wants to use against whomsoever He wishes, Allah ta'ala will use them. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to destroy the army of Abraha, who was attacking Ka'batullah with an army of elephants. Allah used small birds. Allah used small birds to destroy the people of Abraha. So Allah Ta'ala will use these things. But the true key role players and the main reason for us to face this problem is none other but ourselves. We as Muslims. We have abandoned the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have violated the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the poet says, نَعِيبُ زَمَانَنَا وَالْعِيبُ فِينَا وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. It would be very easy to find fault that times are difficult and problems are there and this person is doing wrong and that person is doing wrong. The poet says, وَالْعِيبُ فِينَا. The problem lies with us. وَمَا لِزَمَانِنَا عَيْبٌ سِوَانَا. The biggest problem that we face nowadays is none but ourselves. Quran, Hadith and history bears testimony to the fact that as long as Muslims were devout, as long as Muslims were upright, then there was safety, peace and security in the world. But as soon as people turn to evil and violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when difficulty comes. Quran says, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ مِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. O believers, Allah has absolutely no reason to punish you. If you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has absolutely no reason. Allah is not looking to us. Allah is not looking to punish us. But if we turn against Allah, then Allah will bring about conditions to bring us back to Him. In Hadith Sharif of Bukhari, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once addressed Hazrat Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu and told him, Ya Adi, ara'ayta al-Hira. O Adi, have you perhaps visited the area of Hira? Hira is a city that is in Iraq. Have you ever visited the city of Hira? He says, Ya Rasulullah, lam araha, walakin umbi'tu anha. Allah's Nabi, I have not visited the place, but I've been informed, people have told me about this place. Allah's Nabi told him, فَإِن طَالَتْ بِكَ حَيَاتٌ لَتَرَيَنَّ الزَّعِينَةَ تَرْتَحِلُ مِنَ الْحِيرَى حَتَّى تَتُوفَ بِالْكَعْبَ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says, Oh Adi, if Allah gives you life, you will see the day when a woman, if she wanted to, on herself, she'll be able to travel from Hira right to Ka'batullah, approximately 1,700 kilometers. She'll be able to travel all this way. And Allah will bring about such safety, peace and security that she will fear nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adi bin Hatim at that time, he couldn't fathom this. He says, I thought to myself, فَأَيْنَ الدُّعَى رُطَي. He says that this area was notorious, was the turf of the Tai clan, who were known to hijack and to robbery and hijack. So I thought at that time I couldn't fathom this. I was wondering to myself, what would ever happen to the Tai clan at that time? But he says that Allah brought a time when the conquest of Islam spread. And because of the Muslims being devout and being upright, Allah brought about such safety, such peace and such security that a woman, if she wanted to, she could travel all this distance and have nothing to fear but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the history of Andalus, the history of Spain, the golden era of Islam, when the Muslims were thriving, he mentioned at that period that there was such progress in Spain under Muslim rule, that one city in Spain will have more hospitals and more colleges and more madrasas than all of Europe put together. But when Muslims begin to go against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they begin to violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about conditions. Kuffar, they are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Their job is kuffar, disbelief, so they will go on disbelieving. But we as believers who claim that we are followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah brings about these conditions, the conditions of crime and other things as well. Like for example, a person is a prominent person in society, high ranking prominent person in society, and he has a son, and this son is very, looks up to his father and is very proud to be the son of this man. And one day if that son has to get into trouble with his friends, along with his friends, get into some sort of trouble, the father comes and he starts to beat up his son. He begins to beat his son or rebuke his son. So the son turns around and says, but why are you only scolding me? Why are you not scolding my friends as well? The father will say, they are not mine. They are not my children. They never claim to be mine. But you claim to be mine. You say you are my son. So I will not tolerate this kind of behavior from you. So likewise, my dear, the kuffar, Allah does not care about them. وَلَا سُلَانْ ذُنُوبِهِمُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ Day of Qiyamah, Allah won't even question them. Allah will take them and fling them into Jahannam. We who claim to be Allah, claim to belong to Allah, when we will turn against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, death when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about these conditions. So my dear brothers, the difficulty, this crime that we are facing, it's very easy for us to point fingers at the syndicates and the criminals. But if we study it through Quran and Hadith and the history of Islam, we will realize that really the main role players behind all of this is only because of us. Because us violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is that what is the cause for this problem? What is the reason that this is happening? In many years ago, there was an ijtima that took place in Escort. Maybe some of you remember. An alim had come from Makkah Mukarramah. And Mawlana Farooq Makki Sahib, Hafizahullah. And I remember I was still in the early days of madrasa at that time. And Mawlana spoke at the ijtima on a few days. And very, very beautifully he explained that if you look at the azab that Allah Ta'ala had given to the different nations of the past and their crime, whatever crime they were committing and the azab that Allah Ta'ala had given them, there was a link between the azab, the punishment and the crime that they were committing. I remember Morana's words, Jaise yaqeen, waise azab. Jaise yaqeen, waise azab. The thing you put your trust in, the thing that you are focused upon, if that is violating the command of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala from that very same avenue, Allah Ta'ala bring about your punishment. Nowadays, my dear brothers, we find that we as Muslims, we have abandoned Allah. And now our attention has focused towards dunya. There's nothing wrong with a person having dunya. But when that dunya seeps into the heart, to such an extent that now a person prefers dunya over Allah's commands, he prefers dunya over the akhirah, then that's when a problem comes in. So today, because we have preferred dunya over akhirah, and in our lust and our greed for dunya, it has caused us now to get involved in riba, and get involved in haram, and get involved in bribery. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a punishment from the very same avenue. Our yaqeen, our focus upon wealth, so from that very same wealth, Allah Ta'ala has brought about difficulties and hardship. So today a person, mashallah, drives a very, very nice car. But because his love for dunya in his heart, the person now becomes paranoid. Always looking over his shoulder, scared of getting hijacked. So jaysay yaqeen, waysay azab. We put our attention upon dunya, and love of dunya has come into our heart. So from the very same avenue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing our, very, very same avenue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing our azab. A very remarkable hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah. One part of the hadith, وَلَمْ يَنْقُدُوا أَحَدَ اللَّهِ وَأَحَدَ رَسُولِهِ إِلَّا سَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِّنْ غَيْرِهِمْ فَأَخَذُوا بَعْضَ مَا فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ That when believers will break the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will break the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah ta'ala will unleash upon them enemies who will snatch and plunder and hijack and steal from the hands of the Muslims that which belongs to them. So my dear brothers, the main reason for us today to be facing this crime that we are facing is because we have preferred dunya over akhirat. And because dunya, we have got involved in haram, be it the riba and the bribery. And how blatantly, my dear, how blatantly involved in riba and bribery. One person was telling me that he had some issue of inheritance with his brother. So he approached his brother to speak to him and tell him, he told him that don't you fear Allah, that one day you will be held accountable in front of Allah regarding my inheritance which you have snatched away from me. So this brother turns away around and tells him, you don't worry about that. When I stand before Allah, I will speak to Allah. I will speak to Allah. Another person was involved in interests. He wanted to charge another, a deal had gone sour. He wanted to charge another Muslim interest. So the Muslim person, do you not have any shame that you want to charge me? Both of us are Muslims, you want to charge me interest? He says, I don't worry, everyone is doing it nowadays, so I'm fine with it. All the Muslims are doing it, so I'm fine with it. So because we have begun to live like this, from the very same avenue of wealth, Allah Ta'ala is bringing about our azab. And my dear brothers, the solution to the problem. We have noticed since the spike in crime, there have been many CPF groups that have been formed, and neighborhood watch groups that have been formed, and alarm systems, and gates, and burglar guards, the rest of it. My dear brothers, yes, we have to take the necessary steps to protect ourselves. But is this really the solution? Despite all this happening, still we find that the crime is continuing. It's like a person who has some chronic ailment, some chronic disease. And because of that sickness, he now faces some pain. So he takes a painkiller. That painkiller is not going to resolve his disease. It might give some temporary relief from his pain, but it's not going to resolve his disease. So these things might give some sort of temporary relief from the problem. But the bigger issue behind it, my dear brothers, that now we have to make sulah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to reconcile with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to now turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give up our ways. Give up this haram that we are involving. Give up the riba. Give up the extravagance, my dear brothers. Just for a moment, I want to take you to something a bit different. My dear brothers, we notice, and please understand me carefully, I am not aligned to any political group or anything like that, and I am not trying to cause any kind of panic, but just to bring something to our attention. We have noticed that in this country, alhamdulillah, we as Muslims, for many, many years, we had the freedom to practice our religion. We had the freedom to practice our religion from the side of the government, unlike many other parts of the world. There was no restrictions upon us. Alhamdulillah, many times the policies of the government are in favor of the Muslims. Alhamdulillah, that is why deen was allowed to thrive in our country. But, my dear brothers, we notice, look at the results of the last local government election. There has been a drastic shift in power. And the party that is on the rise seem to have policies that are not in favor of the believers, not in favor of mu'minun, not in favor of us Muslims. Already in certain of the steps they have taken have shown that their policies are not so much in favor of believers, Added to this, my dear brothers, we find in this country there is growing discontentment among the local indigenous communities. And for some strange reason, instead of their rage being directed towards those people who had oppressed them under the apartheid regime, for some reason, their rage is being directed towards the ethnic group which many of us hail from, many of us are from. And my dear brothers, you notice South Africa is a country where there is a very big gap in the distribution of wealth. You get those many, many who are very, very wealthy, and those who are extremely poor. And ask any political analyst or any person who is an expert in the field, and he'll tell you this is a recipe for disaster. So basically, my dear brothers, this is a time bomb that is waiting to explode. And Allah save us, my dear brothers, let it not be that when this bomb explodes, it explodes in the face of the believers. In Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala over and over and over again, فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. O people, take lesson. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ. Verily in that there is a sign. Allah said there is sabak. Take sabak from what you see in the people of the past. Take a sabak from what is happening around you. السَّعِيدُ مَنْ وَعِظَ بِغَيْرِ. Allah's Nabi said, fortunate is the one who takes a lesson from our others. In our recent history, my dear brothers, there have been two incidents for us to take great lesson from. One is the incident of Burma. We sympathize with the people of Burma. Allah make it easy for them. They have suffered a lot. Allah is wiping down out the sins. Allah Ta'ala is raising the darajat. But you read, time is running out. Mawlana Abul Hasan Nadwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he went to Burma in 1961, the entire transcript is on the internet. The lecture that he delivered there. And their situation is very similar to what we find ourselves in now. The extravagance, the wasting of wealth, being heedless towards deen and being heedless towards the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In 1961, Mawlana Rahmatullah gave this bayan. Not even a year later, there was a change in government. There was a military coup and a change in government, and this government now began to make zulm upon the believers, and up to today that zulm is continuing. Likewise, Mawlana Khalil Rahman Sajjad Nu'mani, a very, very great alim of India, he was in our country last year before, a very great mufakkir, a thinker. So he was mentioning that some years ago there was riots in the Gujarat province of India. And he says that time I was very, very sick. He said, I had injured myself, I had fractured my spine in a few places. And he said, despite all the pain, I went traveled to Gujarat. And I went to meet people. He says, finally I managed to arrange a meeting with one of the main instigators. There was a genocide taking place. The stories that came forth, they were really horrific. So he says, I went on a fact-finding mission, and I went there to speak to certain people. So I managed to arrange a meeting with a person who was who was one of the main instigators behind this violence. And one says, I spoke to him. And I told him, I didn't come to ask you, to tell you what you are doing wrong. I came to ask you, well, what has we Muslims done wrong that has caused you to do this to us? So he says, he explained to me, he says this entire area, a certain area he referred to. He says there's several down there. You'll see Muslim colleges, Muslim hospitals, Muslim halls, Muslim homes. Mawlana's word said, he said you'll see homes like the size of the Taj Mahal. Big, big homes. And we were also living in abject poverty amongst you. When we could barely find a piece of bread for each day in your colleges and in your functions, big, big days of food have been cooked. And all the surplus food was just discarded and we could barely find bread to eat. And he says certain people came to us who were anti-Muslim, they came to us and they began to feed us, and a person is always loyal to the hand that fed him. And they began to feed us and they said, when we need you, we will tell you. And then they gave them instructions, now you start this riots and the communal violence, start it. And Allah knows what happened after that, the stories are quite shocking. But Mawlana says, thereafter I went to different masajid and different people I spoke to, and I told them that now Allah has blessed you with this wealth, don't keep it to yourself. Rather, khayrun nas anfa'uhum linnas. Khayrun nas may yanfa'un nas. The best of people are those who benefit others. Share your wealth with the poor. Distribute your wealth amongst the poor. So he says people began now to build clinics in which they help these kind of people. They build soup kitchens in which they will feed these kind of people. And from then to now, alhamdulillah, nothing, there have been a few skirmishes here and there, but nothing serious of this nature has happened. So my dear brother, we find ourselves in a very, very similar situation. My respected father, when he went to Makkah Mukarramah, then Hajj Abdul Mannan Sahib, who is the engineer of the Haram Sharif, very person, mashallah, who has his finger on the pulse. He has told my father that go to the people of South Africa and tell them that they have to start now helping out the local communities, the local indigenous communities. Because these words were, when the black wave will come, it will take everything with it. When it comes, it will take everything with it. So my dear brothers, we have to now start changing our lives. This extravagance, my dear brothers, extravagance, wasting of wealth, our functions. Do not ever think that this is going unnoticed. There are people who are noticing it. And because of the extravagance, when they are living in poverty, and we are becoming wasteful, they are noticing, and it's building up some sort of resentment in them. Some sort of resentment. So we have to begin to downgrade our lifestyle. Those who have traveled to the Bangladesh and other places and seen the plight of the Burmese Muslims, one message to come with is, down our lifestyles. And we have to now learn to treat others fairly. Treat others fairly. We cannot have an attitude where we treat other people like subhuman and make zulm upon them and treat them unfairly. Rather, every person has to be treated equally. And Allah's Nabi said, khayrun nas may yanfa'un nas. The best of people are those who are beneficial to others. So let's build this attitude that how can we help every person, Muslim and non-Muslim alike? How can we become a benefit to them? Allah Ta'ala give us understanding.